Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 424. So we have a little toned down group this week. The energy level's a little down. We're going to ask Spencer to work on that, see if he can pump the group up.
No.
Fine, if that's going to be your attitude.
It's time to pump
the podcast you up. Yes. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Spencer.
Brandon.
So, yeah, no Pat. I thought Mike might come and we could trade Pat for Mike, but no, they're both being marked absent this week. It's a good thing that nothing happened. Quiet week in comics. I don't remember seeing any new comic announcements. There might have been a couple, but I'm sure they added some dark metal, death metal titles and maybe a couple Empire books just for fun. I saw Marvel added. Or no, there was something from DC. I forget what it was, but I was really surprised that they announced something new.
There's a new Black
Label
book.
Oh, really?
Beyond Rorschach?
I don't know if it was announced already, but I think this is the first time I've seen a cover. It's like an alternate history or like...
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to come out a long time ago. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'd never seen a cover.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it was new to me.
That was supposed to come out a while ago. Zach is asking the same question twice. What are you doing, Zach? You're throwing me all off.
Let's see if you give a different answer.
We have some great questions. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just start with the DC news, where basically AT&T went on a rampage and
Warner Media
got rid
got
of
a big cut, right?
Yeah, Warner's took a bloodbath across the board, like lots of people at HBO, and I think just Warner
how
across
many,
the board.
Because I heard it was 600 to 800 people total.
Right.
And how many people does Warner employ?
No clue.
Because if it's like 10,000,
right,
I don't think you can call that a bloodbath.
Right.
But
well,
if it's
I
like
know it was
5,000.
Right. But
that's pretty big.
The bloodbath, I don't want to say not at other places, but I know at DC apparently it was about 1/3 of their staff was let go.
Right. But most like a big portion of that was probably the DC Direct, right?
Right. Well, I don't know how many people that was. You know, I don't know how many people were employed at DC Direct. So, but I don't know. Like, it's weird. I don't know if or when we'll even know who. I'd like to know just because there are people there that I do know. Yeah. But the weird thing is, like, they have to finish out, like, the next 2 to 3 months. They have to keep working there. So will they even publicize that they were out? Or are they still there? Mm. And they're not allowed to say anything. You know, it's just, it's a really weird... So I would not be thrilled doing that. I know my sister-in-law, when she lost her job, she had to train her replacement in India for 2 months mm-hmm. in order to get her severance. And it was just like, yeah. Just sucked going into work knowing, you know, to teach the person who's taking your job. It's like...
Yeah. That happened to me at the Pittsburgh
okay.
The Pittsburgh newspaper was laid off in September, but my last day was until November 30th.
Yeah, ugh. Yeah. Just, ugh, yuck. So, like, I'm still seeing, like, a couple...
The same part of that, though, like, I know I've never been laid off, but I've been with people who have, and, like, at least with the company I work for, like, they got a lot of, like, professional services. Like, they had, like, a third party, like,
okay.
look over resumes
okay.
and, like, help you with placement. And then, like, they were very, like, if there were job openings within the company,
okay.
maybe you could switch positions
gotcha.
And stuff like that. So, hopefully,
yeah.
Warner's doing something like that.
Yeah. It would just be interesting to know exactly who, like, you see some of the top names that they were talking about, but there's a lot of lower people I'd be interested to know. And, you know, if it was a lot of, my guess is a lot of it was just salary cutting, you know, a lot of the big names that made the most let go.
And I think just a lot of, like... Okay, we have three people who do the same job. Can we get away with two?
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Like, having DC Direct, like, doesn't really make sense in the bigger scheme of Warner Brothers when you've got, you know, there's merchandising for all the Looney Tunes stuff,
right,
and all the Harry Potter stuff, and like whatever. I don't even know everything that they own, but it's like it doesn't seem to make sense to have like,
right,
like an entity all by itself.
Yeah, so we don't know anything yet as far as any changes, stuff like that. Everything I've seen makes it look like they're going to go heavier into digital and the kids stuff that they'd been going in. So I don't know if that's going to impact less comics or exactly what's going on.
I feel we like have it's no probably going to be, like you've been complaining about, like, you know, do the exact same amount, but with fewer people.
You're right,
like,
but then
I think that's probably their goal.
Could be, but then, you know, yeah.
That's going to be tough. My goodness, with some of the names I heard, you know, with the top editors putting out that many books with less editors.
Yeah,
but maybe they can do it.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, sadly, we don't know any. You know, lots of speculation. You know, but we don't know anything yet. So,
I feel like, you know, as long as you have, you know, Tinian and Tom Taylor and King and like all the, if, as long as those people stay the
right
same, like, are we even going to feel the difference? And would we know the difference between what DC,
well, my question is, with a lot of those,
and after, you know?
If it's a cost cutting thing, are you going to keep your King and Taylor, who are now demanding more money, you know, through higher profile, you know? So it's like, or do you go, oh, we're going to get the cheapest writers and artists we can? You know, that's my fear.
Yeah.
You know, why pay this guy this amount when we can get this guy to do just as good to, you know, the guy who's coming in apparently from esports, you know? That was the one thing that scared me when they said the incoming head of DC is coming, has a background in esports. I'm like, okay, so the Fortnite champ is going to take over DC.
That doesn't scare me at all, because like esports is one of the biggest like growth
it is,
industries.
It,
that thing is just.
It scares me because comics are kind of a unique thing that most corporate people don't get. They don't understand that they're not just selling to Walmart. Most of them, and you know, Barnes and Noble, most of them are good with, you know, they have their 10 clients and they're good. And the problem is we're all independent stores and most of them can't quite wrap their head around that. And most of them then rebel against it and try to work around us. And it hasn't worked yet. But that's my fear, is that we're the, you know, the redheaded stepchild that nobody wants to, I don't want to even say appease, but try to work with. And figure out, you know, what's best for us. They don't care. That's why I saw, you know, they're looking at going full bore into Walmart. It's like, okay, that's not going to work, but sure, you know, if you want to get back into returnability, cool, but I don't think that's going to work out in your end. And it's going to be harder for people to get books. Yeah. If you have to go into Walmart to get all your issues, that's going to be tough. Or then you go into DCBS and Midtown, and maybe that's their goal, is to move everything to online subscriptions.
It'd almost be kind of like back in the day, like getting, trying to find your comic off like the newsstands and stuff,
right? Yeah.
With like,
yeah,
you know, because I'm sure, especially with the way Walmart does things, like, you know, you'd probably get like an issue something before another one, or be like, just skip like two issues before you get the next one in and stuff like that.
Oh. Sorry. No, we are recording, but I forgot that when that's plugged in, there's a buzz. Sorry if there was a buzz. There we go. There's my title. Sorry about the buzz. Like, I don't want, I'm not asking them to do stuff specifically for us. Just don't do things that are against us. That's all.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. Like, you know, making it harder for us to order books and all that stuff that's been going on. So.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling there's going to be a lot more shoes dropping. Like, somebody made reference to Imelda Marcos. You know, we've been waiting for the other shoe. We didn't expect it to be 50 new shoes coming. Mm-hmm. With every Friday is going to be yet another change.
Yeah. And it sucks for all the people who lost their jobs, especially
absolutely.
This environment.
Yes.
But I
yes.
think that, you know, maybe not specifically in comics, but just in general, I think there's going to be a lot of companies that are just like, you know, they need to trim something. And it's going to... really
but I did kind of enjoy, perversely, the guy who said not our problem on the one forum was one of the people that I saw was losing their job. So I did not feel bad about that one. It's like, oh, I feel poor guy. So yeah, we don't know. I certainly don't want to speculate on anything that's going on, but yeah, big changes coming. So let's go to Zach's question.
As if enough changes have already happened.
An esports guy might be more active in like forums and stuff like that, right? You might say, "Oh no, we need to have our creators."
Right. It could be. No, it absolutely could be. But
we need to, you know, we need to like one of the things that esports tries to do is they try to, like they try to develop talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the, you know, like the video game is really not the star with like Twitch and stuff like that. It's the personality who's streaming the game.
Okay.
Right. So if he kind of understands that, if he can see, oh, you know, I need people to be, you know, a fan of this artist because they, you know, they watch their Twitch stream of them, you know, doing artwork online, and like, how can we make that translate to sales?
Right. But then my fear is something like Jim Lee, who loves doing his Twitch artwork and doesn't seem to do anything else because he's always doing the Twitch artwork. Mm-hmm. And when we're waiting to see his detective cover and it's not ready until the week before the book ships because, you know, that's my fear. And then...
But it would be cool if it was, you know, hey, let's live stream your pencils for whatever.
Right.
Or you know, have an inker who's, you know...
Yeah,
and that's the type of stuff that I wish they would do more of, and they basically don't do any of that,
right.
At least
well,
not through the official channel.
No, yeah, they tend to leave most of the promotion up to the individual creators, and that I'd love to see them have a publicity department and actually promote their books. One thing that bugs the crap out of me, the Detective 1027 with their 10 covers, our final orders are due Sunday. They just today at 5:30 got us the covers. It's like, so how do we promote this book?
Yeah. And that's the thing that you don't need to see the cover. I need to
right,
see
the exactly. cover. Right, exactly. But and now the problem is it's up to me to send you the covers to see which ones you want to order. Because they don't care. They'll promote it the week before it comes out, which doesn't help when I get orders then, because we have to put our orders in now. My other problem is 5:30 on a Wednesday. Yeah, guess what? I'm busy doing something else. I don't have time to do your marketing for you because
and even if you put that out like minutes after they gave it to you,
mm-hmm.
like people aren't going to reply to you.
No, and I need them by Sunday.
Wednesday,
right.
They're going to come in next Wednesday and say, oh, that's the cover.
Right,
want.
Which like, is too late.
Well, I only got 10 of those, and I've had 11 people ask me
right.
for it, so you're out.
And because it's another $10 book that I can't just order willy-nilly on.
And not only that, this is like this is a redo of the 1,000.
Right.
Like, this is...
Which was a year ago.
Yeah,
it was a year ago. So, yeah, definitely I don't feel the excitement on this one.
Which but is, the writers do look good on that.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw that list, I was
the teams
a lot
look
of
good.
People on this. So.
But, because like, this is supposed to be the 1,000th issue of Batman.
Right.
But, like, what about, like, whenever, like, Batwoman was the main character? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you got all those two words that even, like...
Yeah. No, it's this is totally made up, but well, hey, we're getting what Spider-Woman 500 or something coming up, you know, so whatever. They have fun with their numbers, or maybe it's 100.
I think
or whatever.
100.
Yeah,
100. But they're giving her a special 100th issue. It's like,
yeah,
what?
Maybe yeah, like especially with that Ben.
But it's on issue 5. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would maybe make sense if Bendis was still there, since, like, Spider-Woman was one of his characters, but...
Who knows? But let's get to the questions that I can't really answer, but we can posit guests on. Zach asks, he asked this twice, which is crazy.
Probably just had a bad connection.
Maybe. But yeah, he asked it once 5 hours ago and once 1 hour ago.
Making sure you got it.
Yeah.
So nice he asked it twice.
There you go. What's the over-under for Black Label to be phased out, given Heidi McDonald's rumor on Plan Lifford not liking it despite it being one of the few bright spots in DC publishing? Firing Curry and Doyle, the head seems like a weathered vane moment. Yeah, it definitely doesn't look good. What Heidi said was that she's more interested in selling lunchboxes and sheets, and an adult line doesn't really play into that mindset because she's the brand manager. So she's just looking at the characters as brands, not as stories. So yeah, no, I definitely think
I would. I'm the opposite. I feel like there is absolutely no way that that goes away.
But you just fired the two people who were in charge of it too.
Yeah, but it's also extremely successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's in line with what they want to be doing, which is, you know, basically writing for the trade, having evergreen stories.
See, I don't even know about that because they fired their trade people as well. They got rid of the collected edition department.
Right, but I think that's because, again, they look at we have three people doing this. Can we get away with two?
Right.
And the kids' ones are selling far better, from what I understand. So you're not going to get rid of that person.
I don't know where, but I hope they are.
Right, and I'm sure digital's a focus, so they probably.
Oh right, I definitely think
so. It's like probably not getting.
I do think bringing the esport guys to focus on digital, which just surprises me because they've been focusing on it for 10 years, and it still is only about 10% of their business. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, if you want to grow it, but I just don't know how you're going to.
I don't know. I just they have smart people at Warner. Like, these are not people who, like, oh, that person was the only person that could do it, and it'll completely fail.
Well, I don't think that, but
the reality is it's a trade. You put a good cover treatment on it, you put it out in soft cover, you put it out in hard cover, you put it out in a...
But has anything other than Batman Dam?
Like, the blueprint's there. You just have to make sure the pages are right.
Right.
To some extent. Like, it's not, you know...
Image has had trouble with that lately, so, yeah.
Like... But people will, if you listen to the audience,
but
they will
tell you
what they want to print. And if you bring in a guy from like esports, that's a guy who's going to be more likely to listen to the community, right? So it's like,
so all we're going to do is Batman.
Well, that's probably the case. But if they only care about the top 100, you know, let's say, how do we get stuff into the top 100? What's in the top 100? It's the Black Label books.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree. Okay.
So, you know, maybe the Black Label goes away, but I think the idea of stories for adults that are evergreen in trade, you know, kind of like little separate universes, like the stuff that Sean Murphy's doing, like that stuff I think is completely safe. I don't think there's any way that stuff goes away.
Yeah, I hope, but yeah, just when you just got rid of the guy in charge, that's all. That's my concern.
So...
I'd be more worried about just who's ever in charge not having a good understanding about the, like, the culture and, like, the people who, like, you know, what the, like, you know, knowing that, like, the Sean Murphy stuff is, like, you know, or, like, a fan favorite, like, that kind of stuff, or knowing, like, these niche things that, you know, that the audience enjoys, but maybe not be, like, a huge seller, but will be, like, you know... you know, decent enough stellar, you know, and that, you know, that the fans will enjoy. Yeah. Like, a lot of, like, you know, like, the whole, that it just be, like, like a Batman title, a Superman title, like, a Woman, and, like, a Justice League, like,
that's the biggest risk, is they focus on the Trinity, and they lose, the side characters that are popular, that have followings. But
I'm worried about losing the more experimental stuff.
Like, oh, they're never going to do a like Booster
stuff,
Gold or
the stuff I've liked from the past year, like Dolly Trujillo and the Jimmy Olsen book.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? We'll see. But what do I know? But hopefully those kind of books have a place in the future.
Yeah. But again, if they keep the writers, I think the writers are going to want to interject and say,
yeah, I hope
that's
so.
The book I want to write.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's hope.
And then Christian asks, are comics doomed? And no, I don't think so. Joe Field, the creator of Free Comic Book Day, has a great quote that comic stores are the cockroaches of retail. And what he means is things keep going wrong, things keep blowing up, and we kind of persevere. We find ways to outlast. Comics were supposed to have been dying. That was the best thing. When I was reading the Marvel Untold Story, was in the 70s, they did all sorts of crazy stuff because nobody cared. They didn't think they were going to have their jobs a year later because comics were dying and they weren't going to be around. So they were just doing, that's why we got Man-Thing and Howard the Duck. It was, who cares? Mm-hmm. We can do whatever we want. So it was just funny reading that, that they've been dying since the 70s, and they've been claimed people have been, digital was going to kill comics and everything. And we keep making through. So even if DC decides to shut down their publishing completely, we'll figure out a way through. There's lots of stuff. I always think back to records and how the record stores, even when they stopped making records and were doing CDs, those record stores still persevered, and now that's all coming back. I have
Now a lot of those record stores are hurting because records are more ubiquitous.
Right, right.
And it's like they're not as special. They can't keep the, you know, the, yeah, the cool... You go into like one of those old record places and like you're not going to find like a Led Zeppelin album. Like, because the demand for that is too high. It's going to all be stripped out.
And, like, you
but
can go
if you go to a Target, you'll see it.
Yeah, you can go to, like, a Walmart now, and they sell records. Yeah.
But there's still, there has been, I don't know when, 60s, whenever the collectability aspect of comics came about. You know, so we have that, and I have thousands of comics to sell, and those won't go away because people keep selling them. You know, I'll keep buying them from people. So that aspect will keep us going, you know, and Marvel's not going away, and Image isn't going away, and there's, if even if DC does decide to stop, there's lots of other people to step in and take the place. I think
and
we've kind of prepared ourselves for
and
that.
And if they did stop, what that would do to the secondary market would be crazy.
Yeah, all of a sudden, all those books become really expensive, because, oh, you want Batman stories, here you go.
Yeah, you want to collect Batman? There's only, you know, 1,200 of them or wherever they stop.
Yeah,
or, you know, detective, whatever.
Yeah, so it'll just be a lot of adapting. But yeah, hopefully it doesn't go that way. Nobody knows. It was just kind of sudden. I didn't see. I knew they'd been talking about Warner Brothers making cuts, but the comic business, I don't know how profitable it was, but it never seemed to me that it was, you know, high profit or high loss. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of steady. So I thought it would be fairly unscathed, but. Not so.
See, I just wonder when they went through the cuts of how many people they cut, just even if they realized were part of, like, the comics or publishing, or they were just like, here's a group of people
They probably went to their, like, middle managers or upper middle management and said, you've got to cut.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much you have to cut.
Right. And so
you decide how you do it.
It was the high salary. I mean, when you saw, like, Bob Harris, that's probably the highest salary. I was kind of surprised Lee survived, because I'm sure his salary is ridiculous, but
you never know how, like who's in the meetings that's on with the, you know, that's on board for the new visions, and how many of them are, you know, stuck in the past. Which ones do, you know, what's the vision?
It was just funny seeing that he hadn't been doing any of his comic covers, and that's why all that was late, because he was working on the Fandome stuff, and I'm like, oh yeah, that Fandome in 2 weeks is going to be interesting.
I think it's going to be unaffected because it's streamed. It's not
right, but the people involved and stuff, you know, you lose a third of your company. I'm sure a lot of those people had to have been working on it.
But I think it's probably people who are, you know, they're probably there for a few more weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number of people who was just like, get out. Kind of question that, especially when they, you know, they're not coming into the office. Like, it's going to probably be the kind of thing where it's just like, you know, this person got 90 days and this person got 2 weeks or,
yeah.
But actually, it's probably, depending on, they're out of California. I'm pretty sure California has, like, rules around how long you have to, like, give severance and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of changes. But that's all the questions we had. So, what are you reading, Dave?
The Resistance.
Oh, okay.
Number 4. I wasn't even aware this was coming out this week.
Crazy fast.
Yeah.
Well, what did you read, Dave? Might as well start with you, since you're currently reading At the Table. Craziness.
I'll save this for next week.
No, I know. You can't talk about that.
Well, you talk about, like, the first couple pages, I guess.
Talk about the first. Yeah,
page 1 through 9.
Well, we'll start with Fantastic Four.
I read that.
Oh, I skimmed it. I will be honest with you. I skimmed it.
Fantastic Four 22, which is an Empire tie-in. With we left the previous issue, Wolverine had stuck his claws into the Skrull kid who Franklin and Valeria brought back from space, with the Kree kid who'd been fighting at that casino. and Wolverine is there as Spider-Man, and they are fighting. The big fight breaks out on Yancey Street with the Dark Harvest, who have some connection to the Katati, which I'm not really sure about. Do you know about that, Spencer?
No, I'm not reading Empire, so all to me, it was like, they were just like the Fantastic Four were fighting plants, it looked like, and then, you know.
Yeah, they're fighting a bunch of plants, or the Dark Harvest, the priests of Palma.
I mean, I like the issue still, I just, you know, all the, you know, the tie-in stuff had not.
Yeah, it was a good issue, I thought, by itself, even without the, I don't know how, not too heavily tied into to Empire, but and then Ghost Rider and Hulk show up.
Yeah,
but it's not really them. It's their holographic projector that Valeria and Franklin found.
Yeah,
because they're the old new Fantastic Four. And they contact Reed at the end.
Yeah, so they kind of got things under control a little bit.
When they get things under control, and they're wondering why Ghost Rider and Hulk didn't really show up, and Reed says, "Oh, you guys."
They just sent the signal out to Wolverine and Spidey because that was enough for.
Yeah,
they only needed two members because Val and
Franklin were there. They're the new Fantastic Four now. When the real Fantastic Four is out in space. And they got new costumes.
Yeah, Spidey and Wolverine got nice blue and, blue and black uniforms.
Yeah. And that was the thing on the Spider-Man. First blue costume Spider-Man. It's like, wow, you guys are reaching.
Firepower.
Yeah, I heard that one too.
Issues 1 and 2. Which one was pretty much the Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah, I just read the Free Comic Book Day one.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to. I picked up number one. I didn't get a chance to check out all the stuff in the back. They looked like there was like a back and forth between Kurtman and who's the artist on that?
Chris Samnee.
Yeah, I think it was like them having like an interview or conversation or something.
Oh, okay.
I didn't check that stuff out yet, but.
The Free Comic Book Day issue, Owens, in issue number one, Owens Johnson, he's back in the United States after 15 years. This is 15 years after he was in China and learned to throw fireballs. And one of the old guys he was with comes and tells him that Master Wei Lun has disappeared and he wants Owen to come back to China to help find him. And then the second issue, it was good these were released. This could have been like a double issue because the first and second issues, they go really well together because the second issue is these ninjas invade the Johnson home. And the first half of the issue is like all no dialogue.
Yeah, it's just the fight scene.
Which was really well done, I thought.
Yeah, that's. I wonder, like, with that, how much of that was, like, Kurtman was like, hey, I want them to do this or that, or he was just, like, make, like, a cool, like, 8-page fight scene.
But it was cool. It was cool how they got across the point, how quiet it was. Because they even, like, made a big deal out of Owen catching a glass of water that fell off the end table so it wouldn't wake up his wife, who slept through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And all these ninjas are in the house. And the other cool thing was the family is not in the dark about.
Yeah, because whenever he finally uses a little bit of the firepower and the ruckus, and she just comes down with a shotgun, just like ready to shoot some ninjas, like.
Because they know Owen's past, which was pretty cool. Because you didn't like just assume, you know, in the first issue they didn't know anything about.
Yeah. I assume in the first issue it was because from the Free Comic Book Day one, that he had, like, superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does the jump when he's racing his daughter, and he does the jump.
Which is
and then he's, like, in line, so it's like, what, do you jump a mile? Like,
which is normal, like, kung fu, like, mystic kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Did you not read the trade?
I didn't read the trade. I was not impressed by that Free Comic Book Day thing. It didn't grab me. Kirkman's kind of hit or miss, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, especially after reading the trade.
Yeah. The trade, I really enjoyed the trade. I was able, like, I almost read that thing in, like, one sitting.
Yeah. Which I think is part of the reason why I didn't like
the, just the whole setup of it.
Yeah, it's like, the art was good, but it's like, well, there wasn't much to it. I don't know. It's, I was not impressed. But I'd say the same thing about, like, the first couple of issues of Invincible. Like, mm-hmm. It does not start.
Yeah, I read the first trade, and I never kept up. They're like, oh, it gets really good later. I'm like, too late.
No, that's one where you have to, like, you know, read 40 issues before you decide.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's not.
So. Next, Star Wars, number 4, which I think this is the first issue back since the shutdown, actually. I think 3 came out a long time ago. But this is a post-Empire Strikes Back story with Luke, Leia, and Lando return to Cloud City. And while they were on Cloud City, Luke had these visions of this woman in a cloak. So, you know, and he decides to go off and try to find her, and first, somehow he figures out she's on a planet called Cerulea, which has these oceans and red land masses. So he goes in his X-Wing with R2 to Cerulea, and he finds this woman, and she runs away from him, finally chases her down, and she tells him that she's not a Jedi and that Luke is in over his head, and she tells him all about Order 66 and the Inquisitors and how they're hunting down the Jedi, and that's why she ran, because she thought Luke was after her. So I thought it was really good. Charles Soule wrote this, and he has a good handle on the characters. It's interesting. And the last one is Ice Cream Man, number 20, which this is psychological horror at its finest, which I probably shouldn't have read this book because it's kind of stayed with me, but it's a parody of, like, children's books. Dr. Seuss, Michelle Silverstein, and Goodnight Moon, and it's the stories that Ice Cream Man is reading these books, these, like, dark versions of these books to two kids in bed. And as the story goes along, you find out that he's taken the wife, the mother, and the two kids hostage and dressed them up in Ice Cream Man uniforms and white uniforms with the hats. So he's reading, there's a parody of The Giving Tree, and the kid is like a drug addict. And there's a parody of Green Eggs and Ham called Weed Laced with Coke. And it goes, you know, I will not, and the guy says, you know, I will not smoke it in the Hague, I will not smoke it in the plague. In a plague. It's really dark. But the art did a great job with the art in imitating all these different styles. And just really weird book, but it was well done. And that's all I got. Spencer.
I'll talk about Deceased Dead Planet number 2. The issue starts out with Roy Harper and some other heroes trying to remove some people from attack Harper gets taken out by, I think it's a, like, zombie version of Flame.
I thought it was Jade.
Jade?
But I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. It's somebody that's green and flaming.
Yeah.
They don't name the character, so that's all you really know.
And then, as it seems like it's getting ready to, all go bad, Constantine shows up with some characters I thought died.
It was Shadow Pact.
But, like, I thought, like, didn't I thought, like, Red Hood and Ravager or whatever. I thought they died in that other miniseries. Like the Unkillables. No,
I didn't read it. Okay, I didn't read that.
But so. Maybe I might have misread it, but they show up and then what else happens? So as after they kind of take care of it, Cassidy, the new Wonder Woman, shows up with
Superman,
Superman,
who she just ran through with a sword.
Yeah, because he jumped in front of her and from killing Wonder Woman because he found out that there's a cure. And everybody's like following her. They got somebody's holding just Cyborg's head, just carrying it around, as that you know. So he talks. But then there was like another crisis going on, and then so some of the Shadow Pack members go there to take care of it.
Well, a bunch go to take Superman and the survivors to Gotham.
Yeah, to where Poison Ivy's at.
But Swamp Thing had showed up and said that there's a problem in Australia. There's another garden down there that he can't be in contact with. Even swears at John Constantine, who took pride in that he got Swamp Thing to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
This is Tom Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said Australia, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's Tom
Taylor. Yeah. And so some of them stay in Gotham, and then a bunch of them go to try to figure out what's going on down in Australia. And there's this, like, huge building surrounded by... There's a moat, there's flame... And then there's also zombies around it, so they have to figure out how to get past that. And, didn't go well.
Not for most of the members,
no. It did not go well for pretty much everybody.
Other than, like, the only ones that look like they might survive, if they make it to the first of the next issue, the Constantine, Swamp Thing still looked like he was kind of alive. And then I didn't know about Detective Chimp.
No, I think he got taken out. Yeah,
I remember the last page. I saw him in the background. I think he
got taken out. But yeah, that was a real big surprise as to what the actual threat was there.
Yeah,
because you thought it was a moat of blood, but it wasn't. It was actually liquid Plastic Man.
Hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
but zombie Plastic Man. So that was good. I thought that was real good.
And then. The last one I'll talk about will be Legends of the Dark Knight.
Big book of the week, the $25 before it even hit the stands book. Everybody had to have it.
Mm. Yeah, this is one of those kind of like anthology series where the first main story is that it's not Dr. Manhattan's body that was in the Death Meadow. It was Bruce Wayne and a alternate universe who just happened to go through the same thing that happened to the guy who became Dr. Manhattan, and he was calling himself like Bat-Hattan or something like that, I think is what it was, something weird like that.
Patrick Zurcher just followed me.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But it's basically just like, you know, explain that a little bit and going through some of the, you know, The Dark Matter year of the villain stuff, kind of going through a lot of that stuff. The second story was the Robin King. Is that
that's right? Robin that's why King? It was so valuable. First appearance of Robin King,
which doesn't seem to make sense if I remember when he, because in the issue that he called, like in the issue of Death Metal, where he called, said he was going to be his new Robin King. You know, you're going to be the Robin King. And then, like, in the end of the story in this issue, he, like, calls himself the Robin King.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's a... in this universe, as a kid, Bruce is just, like, this, like, little, like, almost like Damien kind of, like, demented, like, he, like...
Or he stops the robber and shoots his parents himself. Yeah.
And then eventually, because the whole story is just, Alfred, like, trying to leave a message just in case if he doesn't survive, because he has him, like, he put him out with, like, a whole bunch of tranks and hoping, you know, and had him, like, in his room or something. But he basically breaks out and then kills him, and, like, he pronounces himself, like, the Robin King. So I don't know how that falls into, you know, the main story, like, Conan-wise. But then there's basically just a couple of, like, couple page stories of, like, the Dinosaur Batman and,
Not written by Warren Ellis. Yeah. It was supposed to have been.
Oh, is that the story that's supposed to be Warren Ellis? Just that couple pages? Mm-hmm. And then there was another story where, like, it had something to do with, like, the issue with, like, the car, mm-hmm. Batman, how that happened. And then there was a one where it's Damian and he's all grown up and he's Batman and Bruce is all old. And he sacrifices Damian so he could gain, like, the ability to control Gotham somehow using...
Something like that, yeah.
Some kind of, yeah. You know, cult book or something like that to, you know...
But that's the other stuff I'm pretty sure you guys read, so...
Okay. Let me start with Empire number 4.
I read that. I don't know how they're going to wrap this up in 2 issues. They keep adding new elements to this whole thing.
Yeah, and they're also not moving forward. They're not moving.
No, not fast. At all.
That's
not
the,
at
that's
all.
The next event. They have to, you know.
Oh, kinda... yeah, because they're doing nothing to take on the Katati. It's all just, I don't
but
even
there's
say.
There's also no fighting.
No,
all
no.
All the fighting is in the.
No, it's all talky talk, yeah, talk, talk, talk. Yeah.
But anyway, we learned that She-Hulk apparently was dead.
Yeah, has been dead for a long time. Or since the beginning of this, when she first appeared somewhere.
So with the She-Hulk that's been in Avengers, isn't She-Hulk?
No, it's just the beginning of the fighting, I think.
That's still
cool. Or maybe I don't know.
I got all that. From reading it, I thought she had, like, died a while ago.
Oh, okay, could be. I thought she was, like, in the first wave of heroes they sent at the Katati, and they killed her then.
But
a good thing there's an Immortal She-Hulk book coming.
Yeah. And then Hulkling isn't himself.
Correct. It's not Hulkling. He's scanned, but
he's scanned, but whatever whatever is in his place, it has fooled her.
Right.
Her hammer.
But it didn't fool his husband, Wiccan.
Which
that supposedly was the big thing about this issue was that it revealed they were married.
Which. I don't know anything about these two characters because I didn't read those. So, like,
yeah, they've been together for a long time.
Reveal, like,
no,
oh,
but
married.
That's why it hit all the speculator sites. Sold out immediately.
Oh, did it?
Oh yeah.
Speculation.
They'll jump on anything.
Yeah.
Like I said, first blue Spider-Man costume. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're married. That was the big, you know.
The best one I saw for this week was the description in this was funny. Where was it? Hawkman, because this issue, not spoilers, so stop if you're reading Hawkman. I don't want to give it away. But it's Death of Hawkman and Death of Hawkwoman. And then after that it says, both characters die and reborn throughout time, so this is not a particularly significant event. But this was one of their keys of the week because of their deaths. It's like, make up your mind, man.
I can see the post-it note on the comic now, like years from now. Third death of Hawkman or whatever. But I also read Captain America 21. So in the last issue, we learned that Thunderbolt Ross was still alive, and part of the reason why Captain America is still on the run, even though it's only in this book. Been completely ignored in the rest of the universe was because people thought he killed Thunderbolt Ross. So, but that was from the last issue. But they don't touch on it at all in this issue, which kind of frustrated me.
Is he still the Red Hulk?
I don't think he's the Red Hulk.
No, because there was some other guy that was.
Oh, really?
He had a timer. He could only be the Hulk for 1 hour a day or something.
Yeah. And then, Cap, Buck, and Falcon are undercover in this church that is, like, preying on, downtrodden men. Honestly, I think it was an allegory for, like, Trumpers. But so Selena's there, and she is basically like feeding off of their souls. So they infiltrate this with these devices that like give them they're some kind of Wakandan tech that change their appearance digitally or somehow, so they like they look completely different, but that lets them infiltrate. But it's a really confusing issue because, or I don't know if it's confusing because like I don't know who's who. Like I know this is someone in disguise, but because it can like change your ethnicity and stuff like that, like I don't know who is who. But like the Red Skull's in this too, but he's in his like Alexander whatever form where you don't see his face. And except like you know, he'll look in the mirror and you'll know that's right, that guy's Red Skull. So it's like you have that guy in disguise and then you have these guys in disguise, and until the last like three pages where they actually get into a fight, like there's no not the Red Skull. Red Skull is still disguised, but like when Cap and Buck and Falcon actually start fighting, like that's the only time that they came out of costume. So it was a little frustrating. I actually dropped this book from my pull list, but I saw the issue there and I had a light week, so I grabbed it. But so it hasn't been great, but it's fine. It's like super underwhelming. I'm hoping that this like ends at 25, and you know they can do something else with Captain America that's a little more relevant to the rest of the universe. Batman: The Adventures Continue, number 3. So. I read the second issue, and that was a big speculator book, and I couldn't figure out why.
Cover.
And then no, it's because it's the first appearance of the protege of Deathstroke, who I can't even remember her name.
Okay.
But I read the first one, and I was like, and then I saw later that it was like that was the first issue of the protege. I was like, what are you talking about? Because in that issue, he kind of tries to like. Pull Robin and Batwing kind of away from Batman to say like, hey, you know, I can make you better kind of thing. So he's trying to pull them away, and like I completely forgot that he had this you know, assistant effectively helping him.
Okay.
But in this issue Robin is told to go home because it's too late, it's a school night. By Alfred, and then, but Alfred sees Deathstroke, so or not Alfred, Robin. Robin sees Deathstroke, so he follows him into this like museum or some kind of place, Deathstroke says, "Oh, we're fireflies here." It's like a what's it called? Where do they have bugs? It's not a museum. It's like a an atrium? I don't know what you'd call it. It's where they'd have bugs.
Okay.
So apparently Firefly is into like bug collecting, which sure. I never knew.
Entomology?
Is that a part of it?
I think that's the study of bugs, but...
Yeah. So anyway, they make this connection.
Come on, Dave!
I don't know if this is an animated series thing, like,
okay.
Is this part of the character or not, but I always just thought he was a pyromaniac. But, so he's there to, like, steal these bugs. Or at least that's what Deathstroke tells Robin. And so Robin tries to help Deathstroke take down the Firefly. And Firefly, like, almost kills him. Deathstroke has to save him. And then Batman, realizing Robin isn't home yet, goes looking for him, gets there. Batman takes down Firefly. And we discover it's not actually Firefly. It's Deathstroke's assistant. He's kind of...
He's in the books.
Yeah, he set him up. So he had his assistant impersonate Deathstroke to kind of... Or his assistant impersonate Firefly to try to, bring Robin into the fold. And we learn that Lex Luthor is paying him to kill Batman. So, you know, that was the whole plot to... pull Robin in to get Batman to follow so that you can kill Batman and it all blows up in his face. And meanwhile, this whole time, Jason Todd, who they don't call Jason Todd, so, like, but he's also not wearing the red hood.
Okay.
But it's clearly Jason Todd, because he's got the brown jacket, he's got the, like, the white streak in his hair. He's, like, following him around, and Batman and Robin, they all know, like, hey, somebody's following us, but, like, they never see more than a shadow, and then, like, Batman will see the shadow, like, or, like, a, he sees, like a twinkling light, and he's like, there he is, and he tries to, like, chase him and stuff, and but Jason Todd gets away too quick, so, like, they don't know who it is, even though he's not wearing the Red Hood mask, so, because I thought this was going to be, like, how do they introduce the Red Hood into that, but he's not wearing the hood, so I don't know, maybe he'll put it on later to disguise himself, but yeah. But this has been pretty good. It's a little bit of just like, how do we get these characters into the animated series? It doesn't really feel like the animated series had a very like specific structure for each of the episodes, and I feel like that structure is really not in place. Yeah. So that they'll kind of put it over two stories, that like, which doesn't pace right to compare it to like one of those old episodes. So the series is good. I like seeing the, you know, animated series version of Deathstroke and these characters, but like, I don't know. It doesn't tonally, I think it misses a little bit. It feels different. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Colin, what'd you read?
Me? I read a lot. Batman 96.
Yep.
Big issue. That. Part 2 of Joker War.
So, before you describe the issue, the cover for this, I think I got the main cover where he's, like, on the ship. Like
with Joker's, doing the thing. Yeah.
That is one of the worst covers that I have seen on a Batman book in forever. That cover was terrible. I don't know. Little pet peeve.
So Batman's been found by Harley, who magically is alive after having her throat cut, but she just has a scar.
Yeah.
And he's hallucinating. And basically the whole issue is him hallucinating. And I hate those kinds of issues, but he's hallucinating from the new Joker toxin. And that's pretty much the issue.
Mm.
I don't remember anything else moving anything forward. Just Batman hallucinating. So that's my review. Strange Adventures 4.
I read that.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is a Mr. Terrific focused issue. Mr. Terrific goes to Ran to try to because he wants to find out what happened with this war, and they're more than happy to have him. They're thrilled he was there, and they're happy to show him all the stuff, but. He wouldn't understand the other stuff from the crit
language
or whatever
pike
from
language.
Yeah. So he goes and he views all the documents and everything, and then he has to see those other stuff because the stuff he saw was all propaganda stuff by Ran, and because the leader of Ran is the father-in-law of Adam Strange. And he basically, he would never understand. They haven't been able to decipher the language of these barbarians. And he basically tells them that, yes, I have. I figured it out on the way here. I'd like to see the documents. He then goes to bed and wakes up, and they come to arrest him, and he busts out.
Yeah.
In a cool
scene with his little...
Yes, T-Spheres took everybody out.
T-Spheres,
yeah.
that's what those are. I was going to call them Terrific Balls.
Yeah, no, T-Spheres. I don't think he'd call them that. And then the Adam...
not nowadays,
yeah,
anyways.
So very interesting that something happened. It's not looking good for Adam Strange, Justin. It looks like he did something not good, but it's also like they're definitely covering up. Very interesting. And then it was Adam Strange trying to get back to Ran, and nobody would help him.
Yeah.
Green Lantern wouldn't help him. Superman wouldn't help him.
By the time he got there, everybody was dead, for the most part.
Yeah,
I really like the scene of the father-in-law slaps Mr. Terrific, and Mr. Terrific slaps him back, and he's like, "How dare you?" And
yeah,
he's like, "What do you think? Fair play, me."
Yeah, that was a really good issue,
and but I think I have figured out what's going on. So my theory on this is it's because his wife is very like mustache twirly,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think that
it's the wife and he's covering up for her.
I think the wife basically like lied to him to get him to effectively commit a genocide against these people. You know, just like said, they're worse than they are. And, you know, I think he's been sort of manipulated. So I think he probably did do what he's accused of doing, but he didn't, like, he did it under false pretenses. So I think that's going to kind of be what Mr. Terrific has to, you know, figure out. But that's where I think it's going. Because I think it's probably not going to end well for Adam Strange. He's probably going to, you know, be put into some space prison or something.
But, and then the last one I read, so you might have some to add late at the do a postscript, was, because I doubt you read this one, was Vampire Masquerade. This is a new one from Vault. I guess Vampire the Masquerade, that's an old one. I know Moonstone did a bunch of those books, and I guess it's also a role-playing game.
Yeah, and it was a like a card game.
Okay.
Back in the 90s.
So this was a neat... I enjoyed this a lot. The main story was just kind of vampires and factions, and you're following this one character who's kind of the enforcer for this one faction, going through stuff. And it's interesting because she has a sister who actually was a younger sister, who then she comes to, and she's actually going through, like, Alzheimer's because she's not aging, but the sister is, and the sister thinks she's who she is, but she's pretending to be the daughter. So that was interesting. And then there was a little backup story about this other group, which was interesting little story. But the neatest thing about it was that then the last two pages were basically like character sheets for the two main characters in these two stories, and fills in everything. And I thought it was a real neat way to do it. So you got their entire backstories in a logical way without them having to do it through the story. But you know, it read like a character sheet instead of just being, well, I guess it was just a prose dump, but the way they did it was very character sheety. I really enjoyed that. The one was interesting where, the backup story where it was the wife separated from her husband. He goes out, gets bitten. He comes back, bites her, turns into a vampire. And now they're bound because of that, even though they were separated and she hates him. So that was a really interesting little twist. But yeah, I just found those last two page info dumps just a really neat way to go about doing it. Probably from reading all those old handbooks over the ages. I'm used to those. Anything else we didn't cover that you read?
The only other thing that I read was the giant size X-Men.
Phantom X.
I read that too. Yeah.
I heard that was good.
I mean, it was okay. It's basically because I guess he was, for the Weapon X thing, he was, like, part of, like, where they just made a whole bunch of, like, these clones of, like, this baby but they were never, like, it was always, like, a little bit different. But then there were, like, these two that were exactly the same. Him and what is essentially, like, his, like, twin brother, who they put into, like, this, like, reality thing.
It's the world.
Yeah.
It's called the world.
And then so it's basically like every like 10 or 15 years he goes, Phantom X goes to this ward with a different team. Sometimes it's,
he went with Sergeant Fury.
Yeah.
To begin with.
And then the Hellfire Club.
And the Hellfire Club, right.
And then I feel like he went with somebody else before he took like the current like X-Men with him. But he basically goes to try to talk to, like we were said. Is that who you would say that guy is? It's kind of like his brother.
His brother, I would think so. Yeah.
So
he gets crazy. Yeah. Like, so like every time.
And each time he goes, it just the ward gets more like ridiculous and like out of control and stuff. But then somehow this is also gonna tie in with like that thing that's going on with Storm, because she has like some kind of disease that they've also talked about in previous giant-sized one shots that they've been doing. Yeah. But that was basically the only other thing that I had.
Did you read Bad Mother?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Well, I just read Bad Mother while we were...
Oh. That's a new one from AWA.
Yeah, they've been crushing it. People are really liking those books.
Yeah, and this one was good. It's this. It starts with this mother who's like trying to put on her mom jeans, or like she's trying them on, and they don't fit. And then the lady comes into the fitting room and says, "Oh, I can give you, you know, the size up or whatever." And then she goes to the grocery store, and she's buying some like apple juice, and another Karen, I'll just call her, walks by, and she's like, "Oh, that's not the organic, whatever juice." And then the woman says, "Oh, I hear so and so didn't make the cheerleading squad because she's too heavy," or something like that, just something like, you know, really snide remark. And then she gets into the checkout line, and some robbers come in, and the police show up. One of them splits out the back, and then the other one takes a hostage. So she's like laying on the ground right near them, and this police officer comes in. He looks like a detective because he's in plain clothes. And he's like, "Hey, you know, like, let's talk this through. What do you need? Let her go, like, blah, blah, blah." And then out of nowhere, he just shoots the guy.
Yeah, as soon as he starts to let her go, he just gets a bullet in the face.
Yeah, so he kills the guy, and she gets, like, covered in blood.
Yeah, she's, like, falls down. Like, I think he might even, like, fall on her purse, I think.
I think she, like, had to move out of the way kind of thing. But, yeah, it was, like, very close. And so she goes home, she calls her husband, and
he is on some kind of like long trip.
Well, I think he's cheating on her.
Oh yeah, probably. Because
he's like, "Hey babe, you know," he like left her a note or something. But basically she's like, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to have access to my phone. I'm going to be traveling," and blah, blah, blah. And she calls him and she leaves a message. Says, "Oh, you're probably on the phone, but you know, this crazy thing happened. I'm okay." And then, Her daughter comes home, and she has like a beat up face, and she won't talk to her about it. She runs into the bathroom and she refuses to talk to her. So the mom goes to the boyfriend's house, who dropped her off, and she goes in to the house because like no one answers. So she just walks in.
I think the door is open.
Yeah, the door is like ajar or something. But she goes in. And she sees this, like, ceramic cat that's bloody. And then she, like, looks on the other side of the couch. And there are, like, these two bodies. And one of them she recognizes as the dude who ran from the convenience store earlier. And then she goes home. And her daughter isn't there anymore. Her daughter's gone missing. So she calls the police. And I think the guy who shows up is the same guy who shot the other guy. So it's like, you know, he's probably a dirty cop. He takes her back to the house where she says these bodies are.
Because the detective's like, we can't do anything.
We can't search for your daughter because it hasn't been 48 hours and there aren't, you know, like
so concerned.
There aren't, you know, there aren't, what's it called? Some kind of circumstances.
Circumstantial.
Like
basically anything that gives them a cause that they would need to look for, like, sooner than 24 hours or 48 hours.
They can't look for people. They can't claim somebody's a missing person if they haven't been gone for 48 hours, unless they find like a pool of blood or something.
Like a kidnap note or something.
Evidence of a struggle or, you know. So anyway, they go back to this house where she says these bodies are, and it has been cleaned. The bodies aren't there. There's no sign of a murder or struggle. The ceramic cat is missing. And she's like, you know, what's going on? And, you know, the detective says, "Hey, like, you know, I'm sorry. I'll take you home. But, like, that's it." And then we see the final page is this woman who's like who's seemingly a mob boss. I don't think it's the same woman who was rude to her before.
I don't think so.
It doesn't look exactly the same, but it's you know, mob boss Karen, who's
her
who has her daughter like tied up. So now I'm sure the you know, this is like the I don't know, if this was a Liam Neeson movie, this would be the you know, the setup for him to snap and go crazy. And
so if Liam Neeson was like a middle-aged woman, this is okay.
Did you ever see that movie Peppermint?
I don't think
this reminds me of that. What's her name? Jennifer Ben Affleck's ex-wife.
Lopez?
Jennifer Garner.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna say which one. Yeah.
There's a movie where she's like a real estate agent, and the like these drug lords kill her family. So she, like, you know, she takes them all down one by one. You know, after she trains herself. So I think it's going to be a very similar, similar storyline.
That it?
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, Dave?
Real fast, I read that Finger Guns, number four, and it's more with the girl trying to get her dad. She has an abusive dad to her mom, and trying to get her to calm down with her finger gun. But it was the ending was, it was a shock ending, because they're fighting and the dad closes the door on her fingers.
Oh,
and
no.
He breaks her two fingers off.
Off?
Completely off. Blood everywhere.
Oh, that's my. That's hard to do in a door.
Harsh.
Man, that has one heck of a slam.
He slammed the door and broke her finger guns.
Well, then wouldn't that just kind of make it like a shotgun then? Like, you know? a little bit of a wider spray, you know?
We'll see in the next issue what happens.
Okay. So next week.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Mike will be happy that Ant-Man 5 is coming out. He'll be able to finish his story. Ash and Thorn, number 4. I just like the title of this one. Atlantis Wasn't Built for Tourists. I thought that was a good title. It makes sense. Cable number 3 for the X books. Captain America 22 I found odd, because it's 2 weeks after 21, when we hadn't had one since Marvel started shipping again in mid-May, and now we're getting them bi-weekly.
They should have been double shipping that for months, and, you know.
Yeah, or at least monthly. Because
that way, at least it would be caught up with continuity.
Yeah, but just odd that all of a sudden we're getting this quick. Captain Marvel 20. We had Captain Marvel 19 today.
Yeah, and 18 was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so it's like, I guess maybe because it's Empire and they had to accelerate Empire, but I just found that weird. Dead Day 2 finally coming. That's from Aftershock. Empire 4 I'm getting more of. It's nice that I'm getting more, finally, these are coming in. Interestingly, Empire 6 is not next week. That's a couple weeks down the road.
5 is next week.
No, 5 was this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 5 was this week.
So it's bi-weekly until the end.
Yeah. It's weekly until the end, and now we have, there's like 3 or 4 weeks until.
But the other thing is, they put out the, and maybe you just got them late or something, but I read the Celestial Messiah one.
Yeah, they were last week.
And that was supposed to come out before 3.
Okay.
Because it ties into 3.
Okay.
But I read it having already read 4.
Okay.
And, like, it was completely irrelevant to the story. I knew everything.
Okay.
So.
Empire X-Men 4, 3 came out today. Yeah. Excalibur 11, another X book. Lords of Empire Swordsman is next week. Maestro is next week. That's Peter David finally giving the backstory of how Hulk became Maestro in the... what was that storyline? Future...
Imperfect.
Old Guard, Book 1. I'm finally getting these in. I ordered a bunch of them as soon as the movie hit on Netflix, and so those are finally coming in. Old Guard, Book 1. Power Rangers has a new number 1. Drakkon, Dawn.
Sorry. Is there only one edition of Old Guard?
Yes.
So there was a series that just ended.
Just ended, but it's not out in book yet. Yeah. Shadow Service. This is from Vault. I don't remember exactly what it's about, but it's another Vault one. Spider-Man number 1 facsimile edition. If you want this, let me know. I didn't order a lot because...
Wait, from like the 90s Spider-Man?
Uh-huh, because I have a whole lot. Yeah. So I'm like, why do I need a facsimile edition of this? So I pretty much just ordered it for the completists, but that seemed an odd choice. Thor 6. things are happening in Thor, so we'll see.
Thunder.
What's going on there.
I don't remember, though, because...
Yeah, five.
Like it's been a while.
Yeah, well, five came out, and it was the super hot book. It was the first appearance of Black Winter, and so now this is going to be the first appearance of right. Black Winter's right-hand man who carries a big hammer or something. Oh, it's a Transformers week. I'm like, why did I highlight Transformers? But because we have Transformers 22, Transformers 1984 Secrets and Lies number 2, and Transformers versus Terminator. So for you Transformers fans, next week... Breaking the bank.
Are there a lot of Transformers fans?
No. Oh. As my orders are 7, 4, and 8. So. Valkyrie Jane Foster 10. This is another one back from the dead books that's getting printed.
So, this one is ongoing again,
yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah. See, this was part of my digital argument, is my guess is when they announced they were doing them digital only, that the sales must have been really bad. Yeah. That they realized, yeah, we need to print these to recoup our costs.
Especially with, like, these extra books, too. People were probably so mad that they got canceled. They were like, I'm not even going to bother.
I mean, it's not a top book for me, but it definitely had a loyal audience.
It was Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the... He's, like, the biggest name in the... company right now. At least like top three.
I hear you. Voyage to the Stars. This one, I think it's based on a video game, I believe. This is IDW. And then Wolverine 4. So Wolverine rolling right along, but it's nice to start getting X-Books again. Because, you know, they had such a big...
They're going to have to get them out fast to start
getting swords again. Yeah. But after, you know, the relaunch, they were all doing so well, and then all of a sudden, you know, we weren't getting them, and it was like, you know, people want them. So that's everything that's coming out. We're doing Oni and Lion Forged, and that's all Spencer's fault for our monthly promotion. I did get in 3 different books in quantity for book club, and we're probably going to need to do a vote. I don't know if we can do it this month, maybe next month. But the 3 I got in to think about are Black Science Volume 1, Bog Bodies Number 1, that's by Declan Shalvey, and Gideon Falls. So think about it. Submit your votes if you have any preference. But those
you
I
don't
ordered.
Want like a button for them to click for
no,
each one?
No,
or...
no more clicking. I'm done with the clicking. The button made me mad. I was angered by the button, so...
I don't know. I got a...
That's right. You won?
I won.
Yeah?
I won a... I would call it an artist proof, because it has the... I don't know if it's an artist proof or not, because it has the... it has the print markings. You know,
okay.
Like when you print it, mm-hmm. how it has a little...
Yep.
Like to show where like the bleed would be and stuff. It has those on it, but it's basically the... What I think is the first cover, like the issue number 1. It's the,
okay.
It shows the A and the... you know, 1A, 1B, 2A, 2C. It's like, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
I posted it on Twitter. You might want to retweet it.
I will. I'll look for it. So, I think that's about all we got.
Where can they find you?
They can. I'm here. I'm always here. I never go home. But the website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. But other than that, Brandon.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.
Later.